Are you still, where are you at? Are you in California now or still Ohio?
Still in, or I'm in California now.
Right.
In Ohio, I ate chicken wings
Oh,
for
yeah.
every meal.
Oh.
Every meal, I ate chicken wings. And
Okay.
then I came
Why?
to here, they don't
No,
have
wait.
chicken wings here.
Why did it happen to all the chicken wings?
So
That's a sometimes food, as Cookie Monster would say.
you would think that you go to Ohio, at least where my family is at in Toledo, they only have chicken wings. They used to
Okay.
have more restaurants. When I was a kid, they had like, I don't know, four chicken wing restaurants per person. And now
Yeah.
they have like 50 chicken wing restaurants per person. They're
Yeah.
inescapable.
This is what fucking Midwest besties is like. When you
All
get
right.
three old boys, old dogs from the Midwest like us, this is what it's like. It's all chicken wings and
The first
sports.
time I took my wife to Toledo, Ohio, she's from California, expects a certain type of, fresh vegetable delicacy. And we were like, oh, where can we go, that has some food that's not chicken wings? So my family takes her to this kind of like steakhouse, and like, oh, it'll have veggies. And she sees a broccoli salad that's basted in butter, and she's like, hey, this sounds delicious. Could I get it steamed though, instead of basted in butter? And they're like, oh no,
What?
it comes in the butter bag.
Comes in the butter bag. Hachi
That's so rad. God, this is a good country. This is a good country. Ohio's a good
In a
state.
good country, there's a butter bag with vegetables. My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Christopher Thomas Bland, and I'm a Rolling
Yeah, how come
Stone.
all of our pseudo Russ Fresh chicks that we started to do also were Bob Dylan a little bit?
Yeah, it was a little bit Bob. Hello and welcome to Besties, where we profile the latest and greatest in home interactive entertainment. Russ isn't here, so I'm going to tell you it's like a book club that goes all year long, except it's about video games and it's about friendship and it's about growing and as people. I'm so excited to be here with you. I do miss Rush Frushtick, kind of the heart and more of a mascot of the Besties, and it does feel like something of a loss with him not
He's the
here.
spine of the show, but not a like very super healthy spine.
Fragile baby spine. So this is the Besties, and I'm so excited to be here with you all. We are going to do kind of a little bit of a grab bag. We're going to talk about a slightly larger release, and then we'll get into some other stuff. It's going to be an exciting episode. That's what I'll say it. We're going to be talking about Near Replicant. We're going to talk about Clap Hands Golf. We're going to talk about Subnautica Below Zero. In fact, let's start there. Now, I talked about this one in February,
You did?
because it has been in early access for
For a long time.
a while. I
Yeah.
mean, it's been in early access for a good long time. And I guess is this the full release now at this point? Usually that's the kind of thing Russ knows.
I'm pretty
Do you
sure.
guys know
Yeah,
that?
this is the 1.0. Well, I'm not sure the version number, but this is the full release.
It's coming out on Switch, so you know that Nintendo would not mess around. They say, give us your best or give us your nothing.
Right. And they gave them something. This is actually a good launchpad. What version has everybody been playing? Because I've been playing Switch because it's like the only type of video games for the most part I can play right now with a newborn.
Yeah, I've been playing Switch too. How about you, Justin?
Yeah, I was on the personal computer.
Okay.
So we got a little bit of that perspective. That's where I started. Weirdly, I had played this for a good chunk before. None of my progress had sort of saved. So
Oh.
that, yeah,
Okay.
a little bit
Well,
disappointing there.
Justin,
But
for people who missed the February episode, can you give us kind of a summary of what the game is?
Sure. So if you miss Subnautica, original Subnautica was very much of a wave, if you will, of these like survival adventures. I guess you could say it kind of started with Minecraft, but really sort of more started with Rust. You had Don't Starve. You had, I guess, Ark, you would count.
Ark is one for sure.
Wave.
Long and Dark. Several other,
there's
been a bunch.
So, you know, there was this big rush of these survival games, and this is definitely one of those. And Subnautica Below Zero is a sequel to that. If you've played the original, you know it's largely about sort of like exploring an underwater world, collecting resources and food and stuff like that that you need to survive. In Subnautica Below Zero, the upper world, the surface world, is a bit more of a factor. There's new equipment, new gear, new stuff like that, new story to explore. But it's frigid. So like when you're on land, temperature is constantly a factor rather than oxygen, which is the big deal when you are under the sea. But that's Subnautica Below Zero. How'd it grab you guys? What do you think?
I didn't get into the original Subnautica. I don't know that I have a huge appetite for this genre, for the survival genre, which is to say you're dropped into a world with nothing and you're hungry and thirsty and here's a stick and make it sharper so that you can fulfill your hierarchy of needs a little bit easier than you could, you know, an hour ago. That is maybe a very simplistic reduction of what the genre is about, but I just really bumped up real hard against the original Subnautica. And I definitely took a much larger bite out of Below Zero, honestly, because it's on the Switch, which I will say at the top, the performance on the Switch is not great. It's so hard to make an evaluation of that because, like, it's a huge open world game that, you know, it looks very vibrant, but the frame rate is pretty bad, and also it crashes pretty frequently and also doesn't autosave, which
one big caveat though, we're playing a build from February. At least when it opens, yeah. The pre-release build when it opens says like February something.
Well, I've been playing since an update that says April on it. And I don't know. I did play most of my time on that February build, but I mean the frame rate, the performance issues are definitely still there. I don't know about the crashing issues, but regardless, there is no autosave in the game, which is like completely, I literally lost my entire save because I just didn't save my game because it's 2021 and, you know, I just have become accustomed to not having to do that. Yeah. So I played for probably 6 or 7 hours and then the game crashed and I was like, oh shit. And then I went in and there was no load or no continue because I just hadn't saved. So that was disappointing. But that said, I kind of get Subnautica now. This was the one that made me kind of understand. It kind of made me want to go back and play the original Subnautica because it's just kind of chill to explore the ocean. Like, it's kind of cool to just kind of build a, you know, a sea truck and gas it up and just go on a little excursion and see what you can find and see, like, what kind of discoveries you can make. And when I stopped treating it like a hunt for the critical path, I found that I really actually enjoyed Subnautica Below Zero quite a bit, despite the performance issues.
Yeah, I wish I was playing on PC, not because of the performance issues, which I didn't have a ton of trouble with, but kind of going off of what Griffin was saying, it's a vibe game. Like, it's a game where I really want to feel like I'm in this space.
Right.
I want to look as beautiful as possible, and I don't play this sort of game for the, okay, incremental personal growth of skills. If that's really what you dig, yeah, go ahead and play it on Switch. But if you're wanting it to be like, oh, I'm in a new underwater world, it definitely felt to me like, okay, I'm swimming around a blue haze, and there are like brown smudges on the ground, and I need to like kind of poke at all of them to see if they're items I can collect.
Yeah, I had to. There's an just a pro tip: if you do play on Switch, there are several accessibility options, and one of them is highlight interactive objects in like bright orange, which for sure throws the vibe off a little bit, right? But on Switch, it's like almost necessary because it's not quite crisp enough for you to tell like which rocks are just kind of background objects and which rocks are ones you can smash open to try and get copper ore. So that is something I definitely had to turn on. But
Justin, how was it on PC for you?
I had, it was not bad. I did have a surprising number of like getting stuck in the environment is like fairly common. And you can usually sort of like wiggle your way out of it, you know, that'll move. But like surprisingly common. One thing I'll say is like the story stuff feels much more fleshed out than the last time I played it, which is cool. I had a lot of problems in the first one with like there are places where you'll like unlock a beacon that shows you like here's a place to go to swim to. And it's like narratively unlocked. And it sort of guides your progression. The first time I played, I had a lot of problems with those not triggering and just like not knowing where to go next. That is not as much of a problem here.
No, there's beacons at I'm probably 9 to 10 hours in at this point, and I had to like turn off like 15 beacons because it's there's so many different objectives that I could go and swim to. To most of which are sort of story centric, that I had to start like clicking those off because it was just it cluttered up the already pretty limited real estate on the Switch screen.
Yeah, it was that was better this time. I will say, and this is like, I mean, you could say this is kind of playing into not as bad as Griffin's situation, and you could say this is like user error, and you are partially right, but like I had a pretty long play session yesterday and I had to run and do something else, and I closed the game out without really like processing what I was seeing on the screen, right? And it said like I was just like kind of closing, I saw the thing pop up, but it's like it's been an hour since something. I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, because I'm very used to modern games, and they're like, we're not going to let you lose your progress. Like, we'll save for you. It's fine. And I closed without really processing that because I was in a hurry. My kids were fighting or something. And, like, I shut it down and ran in the next room. And, like, I realized, like, as I was walking in the next room, like, I just deleted everything I just did in the past hour. Like, I mean, it's inexcusable. I mean, like, honestly, the way the saves are handled currently, the lack of an autosave is, like,
it's bad.
Inexcusable. And for a game like this, where it's like things are supposed to matter, right? Like there's supposed to be consequences for what you're doing. The idea that you wouldn't just save that regularly seems so bad to me. Like it's bad.
There's a mod that came out very quickly on the PC version. I think for the original Subnautica 2, which I don't believe had autosave either, that adds autosave to the game. So if you are one to modify your PC games, you can modify autosave into it. There's a I learned about this while Googling why doesn't this game have autosave. There's a class of gamer that thinks that autosaves is for babies and that if you don't save your game, then what's wrong with you? You got to save your game. And that's such a buck wild position to take in a, I don't know, an entire medium where autosaving is in 99% of the games that come out. Yeah. It feels like I can understand there being a mechanical reason for you to not include autosaves in your game, right? Like you don't want to screw over the player by trapping them in some sort of unsurvivable situation. And you could conceivably do that in Subnautica, but there's also lots of ways around that that lots of video game developers have figured out. The worst thing about this game for me is how much progress I lost on the Switch version with the crashes and there not being any autosave. It sucks.
Yeah.
I didn't have much exposure to the original Subnautica, so I want to talk about like what's cool about this game to me. I really dig the like base building stuff. One of the first tools that you build. Again, you drop into this world with nothing. You collect metal to build a knife, to collect, you know, things, to build rubber, to build X, Y, and Z. And eventually that evolves into base building, where like you can build solar panels to power your base and power all these different appliances, like a water filtration device that gives you water and the salt that it filters out of it and all of that stuff. Like, I really, really dug that because it condenses down the sort of whole idea of the survival genre into, I'm going to build a very, very functional place that's going to allow me to skip over a lot of the bullshit of survival games, like my hunger meter and thirst meter, which there's a mode where you can play without those, which I...
As somebody who's played a lot of both of these games, you absolutely should do
it
that.
The hunger and thirst adds literally nothing to the game.
I mean, it's just like, do you like swimming around and catching fish? Like, if you do, then, like, absolutely go for it. But, like, I turned it off. It's very nice.
You have a scanner. It's, like, one of the first tools that you build. And what's cool about it is you find these other installations, usually these doomed, like, facilities. And you go in there with your scanner, and it's a bonanza of things that you can scan, whether it's... like appliances, like I said, like the water filtration device, or here are some thermal generators that you can place on vents down at the bottom of the ocean to create like tons of energy, or here's like a whole new room design for you to scan and add it. Like, collecting those to like flesh out my base was the hook for me. Like, that was the thing I got really into, and I built a base that I think is pretty radical. I will say, after I finished that base, I kind of stopped playing because I felt like the story wasn't pulling me along a whole lot. And once I had this like awesome setup that could have very easily pulled me through the rest of the game, like I don't know, I felt like, well, now what do I do with it? Like, it felt like a kind of shallow experience a bit more once I sort of collected all those carrots that were in front of me on the stick.
To kind of put a bow on this one, because I know we have so many other games to talk about, for folks who are listening to this who are into this sort of game, it's worth like saying, I think this is a good version of of game. Like, yeah. I think it's like not really our specific thing. Maybe Justin likes it a little bit more. But
I do like it quite a bit.
Yeah.
I don't think after I lost an hour, I'll never play it again. But like, I liked when I was playing it.
But yeah, this is different than like some games where like, hey, this game straight up just is not great and not pleasurable. This game is a solid game. It just didn't click with us, I don't think. Anyway, time to talk about a game that did click with us. Near Replicant. Everybody played it. Everybody here on the call has finished it. You all loved it. You did all five endings, right?
All five endings. No. The original Nier ruined me as a games journalist.
Yeah.
And actually drove me out of the space completely. So like, I have a pretty hard time even talking about this. But
that's fair.
Justin, is you not being able to fish in Nier your eating a banana with the peel still on it? Is that like what
you know, Griffin? That's like 100%. Like, if the comparison you're making is like very, 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 very small part of a very, very, very long journalism career, but it's the only thing that 99% of people know about you, then yes, 100%.
This game rules, and I think we spoke about it very briefly, but I really can't recommend it to either of you.
I'm in a huge JRPG like place right now. I've been replaying a lot of like older ones, and like I have a middle of the night time to like, you know, remote play stuff on my phone, so like I have a place in my heart open for Nier Replicant. I just don't know jack shit about it.
Let me contextualize this a little bit, Chris, before you start talking, because I want to so we can level the playing field and sort of color what you're gonna say or what information you choose to relay. I was so deep in the paint on Nier Automata. You know this. We've talked about it. I played, got every ending. Like, I adored that game. Nier, in my memory, and again, it's been a decade since I played it initially, I found it to be basically, like, borderline petulant in its disregard for the player's time. Like, in its absolute like unwillingness to consider that your time has value and worth that should be respected. That was my big problem. with the original Nier, that I thought was like handled so much better in Nier Automata in a way that, like, I don't know, light years ahead. The fishing was just a small example, but anyway, that was my Nier problem. How has that evolved?
It hasn't really. I would say that's still true. I mean, Nier Replicant, even going back to it, this is a true remake, minus a thing that I will talk about in a moment, and we'll make sure to like put a big spoiler warning ahead of. But Nier Replicant is just a rough draft for Automata. Like, that's how it feels going back to it. So many of the ideas that are there are then done better in Automata. The multiple endings is the perfect example, and I think it's what Justin's talking about of like valuing your time. In Automata, you play through the game one time, and then you play through it a second time, and you get the perspective of a different character, and that's probably the most repetitive round. But all the other endings after that are just new campaigns. Right. Like, they're just entirely new stuff. In Replicant, that's not the case. You are replaying a good chunk of the game over and over and over and getting very little difference. And the difference that does exist, I you know what, we're going to talk about like minor spoilers here that are going into these endings. So I'm just, if you want to skip ahead to the next section, it's probably going to be like 5 minutes. But the second playthrough is like, oh, it turns out that you're the bad guy. Like, it's the exact same stuff, but you get a little bit more of a cutscene where you realize the people that you're going in and slaughtering are, like, just hanging out, and you're effectively, like, busting into a birthday party with your katana and ruining the day. And you get that pretty quickly, but you just do it over and over and over again. And at the time when Nier originally came out, I think that was, like, pretty inventive. I mean, this was a period when people thought Spec Ops The Line was profound. but like, we've come a long way, baby. And it doesn't quite hit as well. That said, the game itself is still fun. And if you're, like, a person like me who just likes seeing how things evolve, like, hey, here's how games grow and become more interesting, it's a blast. Also, it does a lot of cool things. Like Automata, it is constantly playing with genre. So about 5 hours in, you're in kind of like a Resident Evil ripoff. And then a few hours later, you're in like a Diablo ripoff. And it's using all these different genres to kind of commentate on itself and video games. And I love that about Yoko Taro's work, that I think he's one of the best video game critics working today. He just happens to be doing it with video games. That said, the game itself, all the quest and stuff, is very MMO. So maybe, Griffin, it'll click with you. Because, like, if you're looking for a game to just, like, grind on, it feels real good, and you can just, like, pick at it endlessly. I would be going for all endings had I not, and here's, again, making a bad use of your time, you only actually replay the second half of the game for each ending. But you have to get all of the swords in the first half to achieve the final true ending. So if you made that mistake of not getting all the swords in the first half, you will never get the final true ending, which is an entire new ending they made just for this remake.
So good.
I had a tab open to like purchase this for like remote download on my PlayStation, and I just, when you said that, I just quietly closed it.
Well, if you hadn't made my mistake, because
just like, okay,
I reviewed I didn't know that I should get all the swords, right? And like, if I was playing it again,
you've been playing video games your entire life. You get all the swords,
Chris.
You get all the swords.
Well, two things: it's so much money, and two, it really wasn't clear to me that I wouldn't be able to go back and buy those swords. I mean, this is such a silly thing to say out loud. That said, I watched the final ending, which I think is like an hour, and it rules. It's so good. I'm so mad that I will never get to play it. And there's part of me that's like, oh, surely they'll release like a cheat code or something. They won't. Just like they didn't with Automata. If you really want to see the ending, you either have to watch it on YouTube or you have to earn it. And there's part of me that respects that. There's also a part of me that's like super bummed I will never get to play this huge chunk of one of my favorite video game series. That sucks.
Well, that and you gotta get into Final Fantasy 14 with me, bud, and play that raid.
Oh man,
this is the year, man. This is the year of 14, baby. this seems like I don't know that I can hang with Nier with. I talked about playing JRPGs, but the idea of replaying replaying Chrono Trigger again now just to get another ending out of it sounds like poison to me.
But the good thing is it's short. Like I think you're only replaying like, you know, 7 to 10 hours or something like that.
Yeah, that's one Resident Evil 8 approximately.
that's true. That's true.
Hey, do we need to take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break. Another great break. Hey, you mentioned Resident Evil and you summed up the ghosts of Resident Evil and we talked about it extensively last week. I just want to say I finished
it. Me too.
And I'm pretty sure it's goaty so far. It's goaty at this point. And I know it's mid-May. There's still time. It's going to be a weird year though, so I don't know
what it's competing with so far.
I don't know what it's going to compete with. It is very good.
We should do a full spoiler episode, I think, on that game. I think.
I don't know. People seem to like the last one. I'll just say, like, it's, like, absolutely fucking peak of the series. Outstanding. I mean, it's outstanding. And the idea, it stays outstanding the entire time in new and interesting ways. I loved it. Like, it's rarely I can, like, endorse a game with this much enthusiasm. I don't care if you like horror games or action games or whatever. You will love this game.
There were parts of this game towards the back half that I was literally cackling, like in my office, like seeing what they were doing. Like it's
incredible.
It's phenomenal.
I love it. Griffin.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Please.
I've never played the Mass Effect games.
Yes.
Because I only like good games.
Right.
But I've
That's
heard that there
can't
are
be
people.
True. Are you?
Yeah. Who have bad taste. Can you tell me about Mass Effect 1? And why should I give it a chance?
Yeah, first I want you to tell me more about how you replayed Nier 100 times and then
okay.
fucked up because you didn't get all the swords.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, yeah, Mass Effect Legendary Edition came out, which is, I genuinely, you know, I'm pretty unplugged, I would say, especially over the last 2 months where I've been trying to get a small person to sleep unsuccessfully for 24 hours a day. And I didn't even realize, I guess, that this was a thing that was coming out so soon. It is all three games, all three Mass Effect games, all the DLC for all the games, and they look better. And that I would say that upgrade is the most sort of prevalent in the original Mass Effect, which I actually wrapped up this morning. One thing to know about the Mass Effect series is that Mass Effect 1 is like very... a very sort of primitive version of what they accomplish, even in Mass Effect 2. Mass Effect 2 is, right, Juice, like, leagues better, like, so much better than the original Mass Effect.
No, not even close.
The original Mass Effect has, like, pretty bad pacing issues. It had, it felt bad to play. Like, the gunplay felt bad. There are these long sequences where you're in a rover called a Mako that you go around these, like, unbearably long sort of tracks on planets, just like shooting at the same two bad guys over and over again. Like it has some issues, and those pacing issues have not necessarily been fixed in the original Mass Effect, but it looks a lot better. And it the most important thing is that it plays so much better. I've seen comparison footage of like what using a sniper rifle in the original Mass Effect looks like, and it's just like a drunkard like waving all over the place, and the guns don't look or sound especially good, and it's just really unsatisfying. I finished the original Mass Effect this morning after just kind of rushing through it, and it was kind of fun. Like, the pacing issues are definitely still there, but I had more fun just kind of blowing away Geth like over and over again. One thing I will say is that you can skip Mass Effect 1 because when you make a new character going into Mass Effect 2, it basically shows you a visual novel, like a comic book style summary of Mass Effect 1 that allows you to make all of the major plot decisions that you make in Mass Effect 1. I would, if you've never played the series, I would fully vouch for that, because while I enjoyed Mass Effect 1 more this playthrough, I was mostly just spinning it looking forward to finishing so I could get to Mass Effect 2, where I think Mass Effect 2 is the best of the series.
You are losing a little bit of context. If you have not played them, like, play Mass Effect 1. Like, don't.
I will say it also took me about 6 hours to burn through the critical path of Mass Effect 1. Yeah, I mean, I did it on casual mode because I just wanted the continuity of the save going into the two games that I actually care about.
Yeah.
Didn't do, like, any of the side quests. I just, like, pushed
through. What did you play it on?
PC. And yeah,
personal computer,
the personal computer device for Steam by way of Origin, because it's the future and it's bad. But yeah, I literally finished it this morning. I've been remote playing on my phone with the Backbone controller, which is still the MVP. And I enjoy my time with it, but I'm really looking forward to two. So yeah.
I really want that to appear on whatever Xbox calls it's like Xbox Cloud Game Pass, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I can, that is where I feel like I could see myself playing this. But I don't know if there are other people out there like me. This game had such bad word of mouth for me, despite it being a very beloved game.
All when the, one the series out, or Mass Effect 1?
Kind of like as a collection, because the first one came out and people were like, all the problems that you said, it's not there. Whatever, they'll make a sequel and it will be good. The sequel came out and it just landed at the wrong time for me. The sequel was the game that got all the praise. I played the beginning. Seth Green is there. I went to a big generic looking space place after a pretty cool looking intro.
I forgot Seth Green's in it.
Yeah. Ugh,
fantastic.
And then Mass Effect 3 came out and that was like a whole kerfluffle.
I'm excited to relitigate Mass Effect 3 because I feel like now that I know what it does, I wonder if I will enjoy it a bit more.
Should we have? I feel like we should do a Mass Effect. Like,
I'll play it.
Holistic Mass Effect episode.
I feel like I should fill that.
I'd love to go back.
Yeah. It occupies a really interesting space, especially now that we know kind of what BioWare does. Like, playing the Mass Effect series, especially after Inquisition, is like, I don't know. It's fascinating to see how it kind of fits into BioWare's now kind of weird legacy. I never played Andromeda, so I'm probably missing a great deal of context there too. But I think it's a rad package. Like, I think it's a series that everybody should try. And with all the DLC, there's some great DLC. The Lair of the Shadow Broker for, I think it's Mass Effect 2, is like so good, and I'm really, really, I'm really looking forward to playing that one again. So yeah,
I'm gonna give it a try, and maybe we can do an episode during the slow days of the summer. I think it'd be fun.
It's a good idea.
Should we talk about Clap Hands Golf?
Because real quick,
that's another one I'm excited about.
Okay, I know that Resident Evil 8 is your goatee, Justin, but I think Clap Hands Golf deserves a seat at the table for this conversation. Clap Hands Golf is effectively the spiritual sequel to the Hot Shots Golf franchise that originated on PlayStation consoles. Now it is available in Apple Arcade. I was skeptical of it because any game that is, I don't know, kind of going for a console game vibe on Apple, on smartphones in general, I'm just inherently skeptical of it. I don't expect that type of gaming on this. And what a bad idea on my part, because this feels as like feature-rich as like any game I would play on Switch. The way it works is it is golf, but short. So you're not playing 18 holes. You're gradually accumulating a team of golfers, and you can only use one golfer per hole. So you might like do a round of like three holes, and you'd have three golfers, or six holes, and you'd have six. And as you like win tournaments, you get points that unlock more tournaments and more characters. It's a very familiar but satisfying loop. The art design is beautiful. It really cool cartoon aesthetic. I'm really excited for Mario Golf Speed Rush or whatever it's called.
Yeah, there was a trailer. If you're listening at home, missed it. There's a trailer where they announced that it would have a proper adventure mode with like RPG leveling up stats and stuff like that, which is like what all I've wanted from the Treasure Mario sports games since the fucking Game Boy Advance era.
But I'll say this, going off the trailers for Mario Golf, Clap Hands looks better visually. Like the courses, I don't know, they look more intentional. I think that might be, though, because they're very different games. From what I can tell from this new Mario Golf, it's kind of playing with like open world stuff on top of being a golf game.
It's a lot more about running between holes. Like there's a speed stat for how you run, and it's which is could be cool. It seems like they got some Super Stickman Golf like race mode stuff going on, which is cool.
But might also explain why the courses have to look a little simpler. But yeah, Griffin, I know you've been playing it too. What have you been thinking?
I fell off of it. I love the Hot Shots golf games. Like, I have always loved them all the way back to, I think the first one I played was on the PSP or maybe PS Vita. And it was like, that was my fucking road dog. I put, I think it was the PS Vita. I put over 100 hours into that game. And it's what got me into, like, I love golf games. I love the, like, three-tap golf games of any stripe, which is notable because they get rid of that for this. Usually, by three-tap, I mean you hit a button to start the meter, you hit it again to, like, select your power, and then you have to, like, time it out right with that third tap so that your shot goes straight. This uses a touch interface where you slide your finger back to like ready the power, and you can kind of angle it left or right to put a hook on it, and then you have to swipe it up in order to like execute the shot, which takes a lot of getting used to, I will say. And I did not care for it until I sort of learned that, you know, you don't have to swipe super duper duper hard. You don't determine power by how quickly you swipe. And once I kind of came to grips with that, I started to do very well and enjoyed it. I don't like the team-based aspect of it. The last game that Clap Hands, which is HANZ, in case you look for this game later, the last game they made was Everybody's Golf. There may have been a number on it, but it was for PS4, I think. And that one was you created a golfer. We did a Monster Factory on it. Like you could fully customize them and level them up and get them gear and do all this stuff, but you were funneling all of your attention and progression and stuff into one character, and it didn't grab me doing that for this roster of characters who you level up through 20 different levels, and you can increase that level cap for each character if you just keep playing over and over and over again. Like that, I don't know, it wasn't as compelling to me as just having my single character that I leveled up. I think if that was in the game, I would still be playing it.
Yeah.
If it was a little bit more like Everybody's Golf, I would never put this game down because it's fun as hell.
Yeah. Weirdly, I've really enjoyed the team aspect of it, and I can't tell if it's all in my head. The stats for the characters aren't especially visible, except for like how far they can drive the ball. So I don't know if all the characters are actually different. Or if it is like M&M's where I'm like, well, obviously the green ones are the best.
No, they are different. They have like different specialties. Like these ones are good at bunker shots and this one's good in the rough. But it's like really tough to know like, well, what? I know I'm going to land in the bunker on this one. So I better bring my bunker guy.
Yeah. And it's like I'm weirdly more confident with certain types of shots with some. Like the hook shots that you're talking about. There's one character that like every time I try one, it is a disaster. And there's another character that basically anytime I'm just outside of the green, I can chip in and not nail the hole, but like get very close. So there must be something going on behind it, or it is really like golf, a confidence game. Like I just feel better with my swing with previous successes. Yeah. But yeah, if you're using Apple Arcade, definitely check it out. I have to imagine it'll come to like Switch or other stuff eventually. That seems to be the path for a lot of Apple Arcade stuff, that it has like, you know, like a 6-month exclusive. And I hope it does. I would love to have it on Switch too. But that said, I don't know. I really have like taken to these touch controls. So yeah. I don't know if I would actually, I don't know if I would prefer the kind of like 3-button moving forward. But yeah, if you have it, check it out.
Hey, let's help some raiders.
Okay.
Cool. So real quick, I asked people for some recommendations since we are doing a grab bag episode.
We'll let readers help us.
Yeah. here's two of them. One from Jeremy. I've really been enjoying Retrofit Studios Retromania. It's a super old school arcade wrestling with a fun story. I've seen this come across my timeline a few times, and I really need to check it out. And then from Shelby, Cozy Grove was a lovely game I picked up. The art style is charming, and if you're looking for something that won't take a lot of time, But we'll give a lot back. Check it out. Also, the Mass Effect remaster, obviously. A number of people recommended Cozy Grove, which kind of has a indie Animal Crossing vibe mixed with, like, I don't know, what that kind of point-and-click hidden object type of game.
Yeah.
And now, questions from Cameron. Any games that you loved the idea of but knew that you would prefer playing later, months or years later? For whatever reason, like either personally not ready for it or the game wasn't up to par for you yet. Can y'all think of anything like that?
I mean, a ton right now. Yeah. Because I'm not a joke, and like I know nobody likes hearing people complain about how exhausted they are with their children, but my baby doesn't sleep. And so there's a whole bunch of games that, like, I don't know. Any game that is, I'm surprised I managed to finish Resident Evil 8. I think it helped that it's actually a pretty short game, surprisingly short, that I managed to get through that. But there's a lot of twitchy stuff that I cannot do right now. I mentioned Final Fantasy 14 earlier. They've like revealed a bunch of stuff about the new expansion that comes out later this year, which takes place on the moon, and it looks rad as hell. And there's a ton of stuff that I kind of want to do in that game to like catch up and be ready for it whenever it drops. But there is no way I can play an MMO or any on Destiny 2. Also, like, I would love to get back into Destiny 2 and check out this new season. And I've heard some great stuff about some of the stuff they've added, but like, I can't. I play games now in 5-minute increments before I have to like do something else, and that's not conducive, I would say, to an online video game at this moment.
I feel like Returnal is kind of like that for me, although that's maybe more like I think it will get better.
Yeah.
I think my hope is, and it's hard because it's not necessarily like a live game or whatever where there's this huge impetus to keep improving it, but I feel like they got something that's like so close to great that I'd really love to see them like. That's one I'd love to like hop back in when I have a little bit more patience and it is a little bit more like accommodating, I guess would be the word that I would use.
Yeah. Mine was, I can't remember if we've talked about this before, but I bought Demon's Souls when it came out on PS3 and kept it in the wrapper and said that I would play it once I quit my job.
PS3 or PS5?
PS3. Yeah,
you
a long
know
time
that
ago.
They, you know that they.
No, I'm sorry. This is in the past.
Oh,
many,
okay.
Many
okay.
years ago, I bought this game when it came out, and I said I would play it when I quit or got fired. I got fired, and then I had to just scrimmage for like freelance money, so I didn't have time for it. I got a job. And then I've been working a version of that job ever since. So I never actually had time and just never opened it. So I ended up, playing it on PS5 before I ever could play the PS3 version. But I there was something about that game that just always was so intimidating and big that I felt like I couldn't make time for it, which is hilarious to me now for the same reason that you're talking about, Griffin, where it's like, I had so much time back then. What was I thinking?
Yeah,
I had endless time. I could have played it, but it, you know, perspective is everything. Right. One more quick question. I'll just read HRTGPRK. What game ending have you found the most satisfying? Subnautica has, to me, the most satisfying ending of any game I've played all the way through. Specifically, I won't say what happens because maybe people are wanting to avoid spoilies.
They just released the original Subnautica on Switch also.
Oh.
Yeah, it's there.
So I kind of don't want to be spoiled.
Yeah, I will not say that then. Y'all have an ending that really clicked for you?
What's comes to my
Brothers is the one that I still like. Brothers is like best like final beats, final act, whatever. Brothers like is such a fucking slam dunk. Weird that dude has not been able to recapture that in following it, but fucking. Fantastic. I mean, like, that's probably my top go-to.
Man, I have such mixed feelings about Last of Us 2, But when I think about games that have like stuck with me and the sort of boldness of their endings and how that has stuck with me, like that's for me kind of the gold standard. And that's not even saying like it's so good as much as it is like, I don't know, the choices they made were so wild that I can't help but think about it. And I mean, Resident Evil 8 ends so good also, I feel like. Yeah, I don't know.
You can also give a big, and I mean, we've given it plenty of credit, but here, but Hades does a really good job of giving you an ending that is most satisfying and makes you want to like keep playing Hades.
Yeah, I love the end of that game. I'd also put Death Stranding here if you're the type of person who can get to it.
No one's ever beat that though. It's theoretical.
And then for everybody else, there's a game called You Have to Burn the Rope. You should Google it. I promise you have enough time to play this game, but it has a great ending. And you can like play it over your lunch break.
God, that's old school. I know. That goes way back. God, it's a good one though. Does it have the song in it?
Yeah.
Is it the one with the song? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
God, that was like a joystick thing.
That was a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other stuff y'all been playing this week?
No.
No, I don't think
Yeah,
so.
Same. No. We talked about so much stuff.
So many games.
We don't have answer for y'all about what next week is. It's going to be a little bit of a surprise, but we'll let you know on Twitter, at the Besties Pod, as soon as we have an answer for you. A few people asked us for a Resident Evil Village spoiler episode. Might give a little more time.
Resident Evil Village spoil second half. I guess we do have a second half of the game to talk about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe that'll be next week, or maybe we'll give some more time for people to finish it, but we will keep you posted. Anything else, Justin?
Yes. Nope. Well, people can follow us on Twitter.
Yeah.
At the Besties Pod, if they want to do that. That'd be really nice. Oh, and subscribe and like review the show, help other people find it. That would be very nice of you. We would really appreciate you doing that. We do appreciate being here, though. We appreciate you spending this time with us and enjoying our presence. If you go to McElroyMerch.com, you can find a Besties shirt.
Hey.
If you want to show everybody.
Did you see the Twitter poll? Did you see the blowout? The Fresh to Cut just smothered.
Destroyed. Yeah, people just want destroyed. That. Video people are ready for so bad.
No, I'm surprised I missed it because it's like my fetish is watching Russ get destroyed. Okay, hey, that's it. There's no more show, and we have no more. We have nothing for you. So please leave, but then come back in a week, and be sure to join us again next time for the Besties, because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best games?
Besties!